Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 21. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Amen. Great. Let me just pray and we'll open God's word together. Father Heaven, we come before you, Lord, with thanks and praise. Lord, thank you that we can come and gather here in your name, Lord, in safety. Lord, thank you that we can look at your word, and I pray, Lord, that your word will speak to us as we look at mission locally and globally. So, Lord, come and move in this place through the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Great. Well, this morning I've got for us a bit of a mission MOT. So, obviously, I work full-time as a missionary. So we're going to have a look at mission globally, as we've done, but also mission locally as well. So a bit of an MOT. I don't know when you last had your MOT for your car. Last time I had a ruptured tyre, so it's really important. They told me, oh, it's ruptured, if I don't solve it, it will burst. So MOTs are useful, aren't they? They're quite good to evaluate different things. So maybe some of this will change some of the filters. Hopefully no one will change the whole engine today, but we'll have a look at a mission MOT together. This is one of my favourite passages in the Bible, the ministry of reconciliation. So, firstly, I wonder, do you see yourself as a minister of reconciliation? Just answer that one in your head a little bit. Do you see yourself as a minister of reconciliation? Well, hopefully at the end of this talk this morning, the answer will be yes. We're all called to be ministers of reconciliation locally, and then obviously support the work globally as well. So, I love this passage. It is the gospel explained, and then it is the gospel proclaimed. So it's the good news Jesus explained really simply, and then it's the good news proclaimed. We get to do that, okay? And the aim of this, I would love it if you go away from here thinking, I don't have to do this. It's that I get to do this. Don't have to do this, I get to do this. And that's a big difference, and that's what's really changed me. So, in the Bible, in verse chapter 5, have a look. At the start of chapter 5, the context is Paul is writing to believers who are suffering, and he's explaining about the eternal hope that they have beyond this life. So, if you have a look at verses 1 down to 10, he's basically explaining how life now is fragile, but it's temporary. But then, life to come is eternal, and there's life with God, which is secure. So, that's what he spoke about before. And then he shifts to this bit here, which is the ministry of reconciliation. And he amazingly gets to see three different things. And this morning, I just want us to have a look at three things. So the first thing is our motivation. Okay, they're all going to start with M in the MOT. Our motivation. So have a look down in verse 14. Paul says this, for Christ's love compels me. Now, I want us to unpack that a little bit. Paul's motivation was to be compelled by love. Now, I don't know what your motivation is in the morning when you get up. I don't know what your motivation is. I live in Ashford, and I wonder when people are commuting from Ashford International to London, what's their motivation? I don't know in Thanet what people's motivations as they wake up around here. But a lot of people are motivated by different things, right? Whether it be money, influence, recognition, trying to get different friends or different things. I don't know what people's motivation is. I always like to have a look at what was Paul's motivation. The guy who wrote 30 letters in the Bible, went on 3 missionary journeys. What was his motivation that made him do that? Well, verse 14 says clearly, Paul says, "For Christ's love compels me." He was irresistibly forced to go because of Christ's love. Now, I find that fascinating because that love is the thing that sustained him, went through all the difficulties, the hardships, all that different stuff. But it was that his motivation was compelled by love. Now, that word compelled is used in the Gospels, different places. It's also used in demon possession as well. So is this idea of something totally overtaking him? So you're irresistibly forced to do something. Paul says he was compelled by Christ's love. So that was the thing that completely changed Paul. One of the really famous verses in the Bible, Romans 5 verse 8, "But God demonstrated his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And in mission work, I often see, when I see the cross, I see the cross-shaped love that I go with. I'm compelled by that love to go because he loved me, I then go. And I'm compelled by love. And as I've got older in life and things, and as I've been working now 14 years in this ministry, it is that love that will be that motivation that will really sustain. So first point, to be compelled by love. Now, one of my friends works in Germany. He's an adult learning specialist. And he talks about these 3 things for adults to really grow in their faith. So content, motivation, and interaction. Now, in a lot of churches, rightfully so, we look at the content to faithfully preach God's word, so understand what it says, the content. In home group, you'll be studying the content. But also, the 3 other things he says for us to grow in our faith is to have interaction. So it's not just listen to it, it's to wrestle with it, to talk about it, how does it apply to our lives, to interact with it. And also, motivation. So what is our motivation to be compelled by love? And he says, he's called Nico, he says that when these 3 things are there, adults really grow in their faith. And he's seen that happen. I've shared that all over the world where I went to, because I really do think those 3 things are really important. But don't neglect that motivation. If you get that motivation right, to be compelled by love, I believe it will sustain you locally, and it will encourage us to be part of global mission as well. So what is your motivation this morning? Are you compelled by love? Secondly, then, our mindset in the MOT. Have a look down in the Bible then. "For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died." That's the second C I'm going to go through, is to be convinced. Paul said he was truly convinced that Christ died for all. I used to be part of a church in Canterbury when I first moved down here, and the minister had a map on his wall of the whole of Kent, and he showed me, just like the map at the back of there, and he showed me, he said, he's convinced that across in Kent, that Christ died for all these different pockets. He showed me all the different places where there's not many churches, and he actually started crying in his office, and he said, "I'm truly convinced that Christ died for all those people that live in Kent." And he wanted to try and pray that more churches would be planted across Kent. But that was his mindset, to be truly convinced. And that was Paul's mindset. He says that Christ died for all, which is an amazing thing. And that's our mindset within the world of sports, friends. You've seen some of those videos. We have around 14,000 coaches working with 280,000 young people. And our mindset is that Christ died for all. This was a picture from a recent training just in February. So it was in South Asia. You can maybe guess where it's from in there. We have to be sensitive about saying where it is. You can probably work it out. We were there in February, and all these people were trained. So these were all some church leaders, some church planters, all coaches sent by churches. And all of these guys over the whole week were truly convinced that Christ died for different parts of the country they lived in, all in the southern part and the northern part. Some of these people told me stories of them risking their lives, of going different places, because they were truly compelled by love for that motivation. and convinced that Christ died for all. And they were going in all sorts of places to try and basically preach the gospel and share God's good news, and they were truly convinced. I have the privilege of hearing those stories and working with some of these guys. When you are truly convinced about something, it changes everything. And I wonder, what are you truly convinced about? I love it when a new person comes to faith and they're just utterly convinced that everyone should know this good news. It's an amazing thing. They're just convinced that I need to tell my neighbour, tell my friends. They're convinced. When you get older, I think sometimes we lose this that level of conviction, and we're convinced that Christ truly died for all. So there's a little picture on there. So to be truly convinced, that's our mindset. Have a look down in the text then, continuing on. I'm going to skip verse 15 and come back to that. Verse 16 says, For now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. So two things here about our mindset. Okay, Paul writes about this. He says, don't regard any person from a worldly point of view, but also don't regard Christ from a worldly point of view. So they're two dangers. So often you can have that challenge, isn't it, of looking at Christ. And some people would just say, he's a good person, he's a good teacher. But we need to not look at Christ from a worldly point of view. See him as the true Messiah, God's true eternal Son. The Son of God. So that's one thing. So regard Christ, not from a worldly point of view, but also don't regard humans from a worldly point of view. That's our mindset. Don't regard humans from a worldly point of view. I used to live in Nottingham, as I said before, and we had a church football team, and we had a doctor on the team, and people played with him football on a Tuesday night. He used to slam people on the walls, and people called him Dr. Death because he was really aggressive. And we did a charity football match at a stadium, and some people from our church who were doctors, GPs, they said to me, said, Ben, why have you got this doctor on our church football team? He's the biggest atheist in the hospital. So we said, what actually is happening is he's joined the team, and we found out why he's so aggressive. His dad was Jehovah's Witness, and basically found out he was really against that, and it made sense. And I kind of had a discussion with some people in my church, and I said, through sport, we had an assistant manager who had special needs, and he used to tie the shoelaces of the assistant manager every single week. And every week we would share something in the change room, and we saw the guy's heart change little by little. And it was a challenge, I think, then to think, don't regard anyone from a worldly point of view. And I think I can sometimes do that. Within my friends, you know, I look at someone who went with and say, there's no way God could do anything with that person. But Graham Daniels, who works with Christian Sport, he says this in a Welsh accent, he says, don't negotiate who gets into God's kingdom. Don't negotiate who gets into God's kingdom. God can do anything with anyone, so don't regard people from a worldly point of view. So I don't know if you've got friends or neighbours or someone you know in your family and think, there's no way God can do anything there. But don't look at people from a worldly point of view. So that's our mindset. Make sure we have the right mindset. And then verse 17, have a look now. My favourite verse in the Bible. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. They're a new person, but the translation says, the old is gone, and behold, the new has come. So the mindset that we are a new creation, a new person, the old is gone, and the new is here. My question is, do you have that mindset? That happened to me when I was a young person. I went to a Youth for Christ event. I was about 13 years old, went to a football tournament, and we lost in the final, and then I got quite angry, and someone came over to me and said, you need to deal with your anger. That same person stood up on the stage about 15 minutes later and shared the gospel. He said, Jesus has taken the red card that you deserve, and you, the old can go, and the new can come. You can become a new person. And it was that point when the penny dropped for me. I wanted to become a new person, a new creation at that age through sport. And that's why I think I'm now involved in sports ministry, because that was a massive part of my own testimony. But that mindset of being a new creation has stayed with me ever since, that the old can go and the new is here. And so that verse 17, that should be our mindset, to be a new person. And I think the challenge is to not live by the old, but live by the creation to live in that way. So, our motivation, are you compelled by love? Our mindset, are you truly convinced that Christ died for all? Not to have that mindset of a worldly point, looking at a worldly point of view to people and Christ. And then have you got the mindset to be a new creation? And then third, being committed to mission. Being truly committed. Like I said, to be committed locally and globally as well. So I've had a look at, you know, what are people committed to, and I've thought long and hard about this. Often people are truly committed to their football team that they follow. Some are really truly committed to get as much money as possible. I live right next to the Ashford outlets, so I see people are truly committed to getting the newest clothes all the time. They're truly committed to getting as much as possible, the nicest cars. Truly committed online to try and get as many followers as possible, especially in the younger generation. TikTok, Instagram, different things. People are truly committed. And I think what it boils down to is being committed to live for yourself. That is the message of the world that I think we hear all the time in Ashford and Planet, all over the UK, all over the world. Live for yourself. That is the message of the world. But have a look in your Bibles, verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Verse 15. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised to life. And I think that is such a challenge of our ages, to not live for ourselves, but live for God. And then the Bible says clearly, verse 15, he says, live for him who died for you and was raised to life. What an amazing thing to do. We don't just live for someone who didn't do anything. We live for someone who came and died in our place and was raised to life. Like we heard earlier, he's ascended, seated at the right hand of God. And that is our challenge, to be truly committed, like it says in verse 15, to not live for ourselves, but live for him who died and was raised to life. And I think if we have that level of commitment, it means that we can be involved locally in mission, to be a minister of reconciliation locally, and then be a minister of reconciliation globally. A little quote I had here is, true discipleship is learning not to live for ourselves, but for him, taking up our cross daily, denying ourselves, and following Christ. And if Christ laid down his life for us, then we can lay down our life for him. Now, within the world of sports, friends, this is what it looks like for us to be committed. We're committed to helping churches and church planters and established churches. So we train churches and church planters. And we're committed to trying to serve denominational partners and church planting movements. And then we're committed to serving churches. That's now over 12,000 local churches and over 14,000 coaches and church planters. That's what we're committed to, trying to help those. And then we minister every week to try and get in front of 280,000 young people who are being evangelised and discipled to come to know Christ. So that's what we're committed to. And this is our whole organisation here. I sit on the leadership team there, that there's Valen. So we've got our global leader, like I said before, we've got a new one literally 2 weeks ago. And then I sit on a leadership team, there's 10 of us from all around the world. And then we've got 5 regions. So we start in Ethiopia. Like I said, we're in Asia, Thailand and 2 other countries. All of East Africa, a lot of Southern Africa, West Africa, South and North America, Switzerland and the UK as well. And they're all the different countries there as well. And they minister to those coaches, and the coaches minister to the kids as well. But all of it, if I can boil it down to, when you look at all this stuff, people think there's a lot of numbers and things. What it comes down to is being truly committed to live for, to live, not live for ourselves, but live for him, to be truly convinced, to have the right mindset, and to have the right motivation. And so, like I said, all the way through the organisation, we see young people come to know Christ all the time, and many young people and families join the body of Christ on there as well. But that's how practically the organisation works. So, that is our challenge, to be committed. And this is a video from Coach Joy, which basically explains a lot more of how to be a minister of reconciliation. I'm sure we can hear the sound on this one.
Football, soccer, the one maybe the papers, all of them in short and me in a dress. I was very proud. the incident happened about my hands, it can't clear up my mind. From school, we couldn't find both my stepmom and my dad, so we were starving. When my dad came, he was told that we have borrowed food. He got furious, so he told us that we have a shelter and are the main culprits. He tied the markers on my hand and one on my neck, added the paraffin, and tied the matchbox on top. When I tried to move it, he didn't want me to move it, so he held me tight for it to catch fire and burn me all over. While being embarrassed by borrowing food from the woman, I saw my dad as a monster. The feeling of not being wanted, you are a disgrace to the family. Yeah, it was really painful. After meeting my coaches, I saw how they were mentoring us, and in the way they are living, it's not the way I've grown up. I wanted to live the life they are living and get to know more. So it took me time in the year 2019, on 24th of March, is when I loved God as my Savior. That's how I am now. And I got it from my coach in the church. Together, connected with Hooper. I pray that I would never want to see my dad again. But eventually, we met. With time, I decided just to forgive. After all, he's my dad. When we met, I just went and hugged him. Stayed there for a while. And right now, he's caring to his kids, not like back then. A lot of changes. My dad, he became a born again Christian. What I've gone through since my childhood, whatever I faced growing with my mentors and my coaches being there, I use it to comfort others, someone they can open up to, talk to. We make stories, laugh, both at the pitch and off the pitch. So me being as a coach, I'm the one with the one, the ball. And for me to help them to be good players, I make that pass to them. That's a ball. And that's the one that I'm coaching. So if I want them to receive it and understand it, give them that word, using that word. No matter how many people are born again, that's one life that's given to Christ. The angels rejoice in heaven. I feel proud to have that. God is using me as a vessel to mentor the young ones. I smile a lot, and that smile speaks a lot. The journey of healing gives way to comforting others. That bond brings those people together to keep that part. That part, to know God and know He does everything, is a life changer. My name is Joy, and my journey was worthwhile.
So that's Joy, perfect example of someone who was reconciled and then became became a minister of reconciliation. Have a look down in the Bible, verse 18. We're going to continue just to finish off with the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 18 says this, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So he's gave Joy that ministry of reconciliation. She was first reconciled to God, and then she's been given the ministry of reconciliation. What an amazing picture. And that's exactly the same happened to me. Was reconciled to God, and now I've become a minister of reconciliation. That could be all our stories. We've been reconciled, and then we become a minister of reconciliation. Have a look at verse 19. This is at the heart of the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting man's sins against them. That's at the heart of the ministry of reconciliation. Joy saying, not counting a father's sins against him. God does not count our sins against us. That's amazing news. Because in life, we sometimes count sins against others, don't we? In family, we say, in 2018 you did this, or even people in church, we sometimes do that. We say, you did this, or we count sins against. That's human nature. But God is not like that. God does not count our sins against us. And that is why it's amazing good news. That's at the heart of the ministry of reconciliation. At the heart of the ministry of reconciliation is about receiving peace with God. We were once enemies with God because of our sin, but through Christ, what he's done for us, we then have peace and we can become a minister of reconciliation. Then I continue verse 19, and he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, amazingly, he chooses you and me, locally here, and also globally as well, to say we are his ambassadors. Now, I don't know that term, ambassador, if you know what that means. It means to speak on behalf of a sovereign king. It's an ambassador. I worked in Nottingham for 2 years as a sports ambassador for the Church of England. There was a role. That was my first job I basically had in ministry. And as an ambassador, I had the chance to go into prisons, had the chance to go into all these places at the time with the bishop and all these kind of things. Schools, they were saying, yeah, come in. Anywhere, there was about 300 churches I could go in because I was seen as an ambassador. Nothing because of what I did, but because of this title. And I went in and was able to go and speak the good news of Jesus. And I was like, this is amazing. I saw myself as an ambassador. But I wonder, do all of us see ourselves as his ambassador? In your neighbourhood, in your workplace, and everywhere we go, we speak on behalf of sovereign King Jesus. So, as our mission, you don't go by yourself, you go as his ambassador to speak on behalf of Christ and to be, to say, be reconciled to God. Lastly then, verse 21, this is the best bit to finish. God made him who had no sin to become sin for us, so that in this we might become the righteousness of God. So amazingly, there's this glorious exchange. Sometimes they hold up the Newcastle shirt to say the black stripes, and say that's the sin. When God looks at us, he does see the sin. But with Jesus, it's a perfect shirt. It's like an England shirt, white, all white, perfect. The righteousness of Christ, and there's an exchange. He takes my dirty shirt, and then we get the righteousness of God, the perfect shirt. So when God looks at us, he sees the very righteousness of his Son, Jesus. And that sin is dealt with. And that's what happened, verse 21. The glorious exchange that we can then become a minister of reconciliation, being made right with God in his sight. And it's an amazing, amazing privilege. So that is the ministry of reconciliation. They're the three things. I wonder, as we go away from here, the rest of today, to think about what does that look like locally here? To have the right motivation, to be compelled by love, the right mindset to be convinced that Christ died for all, to have the mission to be committed, not to live for ourselves, but live for him, and to be committed to local and global mission. So four things to think about. I'm just going to leave these on the screen and leave a few moments of quiet. These are four ways to change. Robert Bible Bible College, Dwayne Elmer, from the MPN, the cross culture ones, came up with these four things and realized that. Is there something to add from what you've heard today? Is there something to modify an existing behaviour to make it more aligned with Scripture? Is there something to eliminate? Or is there something to strengthen something? So I'm just going to leave a few minutes now just to pause and reflect, and then I'll pray to finish. Sin for us, so that we that may be made right with you. And Lord, thank you so much that you don't count our sins against us. And Lord, you choose us to be your ministers of reconciliation. God, I pray you'll help this church here and help us locally, Lord, to be truly compelled by love, to be truly convinced, and Lord, to be truly committed to that mission, locally and globally. And Lord, thank you so much for your word, and I pray you'll help us change and to live for you, so your kingdom will come in Kent and beyond, all over the world. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.